Good morning, everybody.
Dear God, you are all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present, the Alpha and Omega. You are our reason for existence. You are our Father, our Creator. You work all things for our good and for your glory. You know us so well, Lord, and so intimately. The Bible says that you created our inmost being, you knit us together in our mother's womb. We praise you because we are wonderfully made, and your works are wonderful. We sing praise to you for all these things and for what you do and for who you are. You made us and redeemed us that we would live for you at all times of our life. You long for us to worship you, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, to do all to your glory. You want every day and minute of our life, Lord. We fear many things, Lord, the approval of others, acceptance of who we are, conflict, losing control, being wrong, uncertainty of the future, not being loved and valued, and death. Help our love for you be greater than our fears and desires. You made your love for us clear by sending your Son into the world to die for us so that we might live through him. With that extreme expression of love, we know that we are able to abide in you, Father. We are new creations, Lord. The old is gone, the new has come. And as we live this new life of love, fear is cast out. We are able to love our brothers and sisters, Lord. And with this, we thank you for all you do and for all you have done and for all you will do, Lord. Lord, help us to value and honor and love our brothers and sisters and our differences. May we not consider ourselves better than others because of our church, where we live, what we have, our knowledge, our title, our job, or even by our name. As it says in your word, Lord, may we love one another as you have loved us. Imprint that message on our hearts, Lord. But Father, we are poor at living a life of confession before you. We minimize, ignore, skim over our sin. Make us tired of fighting against sin. We do not hate our sin, and therefore we do not confess it. We love the creation more than the Creator. Help us to love you more than our sin. Open our eyes to the depth, beauty, and power of your forgiveness. Help us believe in the good news of Jesus Christ. Free us to take you at your word, that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, help us to remember that. Now, Lord, as we gather today as a community of faith, hope, and love, we lift before you in prayer those who are sick, those who mourn, those who are suffering. My mom, Lori Patricia Silva, who is ill. Art Bashford, as well. And we praise you for the life of Don Shannon, Lord. Comfort his sister and the Envick family with assurance that he is with you, Lord. It is the confidence we have in approaching you that if we ask anything according to your will, you hear us, Lord. And now, as your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, taught us, let us pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
The scripture this morning comes from Daniel, chapter 6. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs. But they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him, because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "May King Darius live forever." The royal administrators prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty issues the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human being except to you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, the decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. Then they said to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to King Darius and said to him, remember, your majesty, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, may the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I done any wrong before you, your majesty. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God.
Let's pray together. Lord God, help the words of your scripture, which are so true, they were true then, they're true now, to touch our hearts in whatever way we need to hear them this morning. And may we be open to receiving your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that's the story of Daniel in the lion's den. I'm glad we read the whole thing. It's a little longer than usual, but it's good to get the context, isn't it? To know what happened before and then to see what happened after. Before I talk about the story in the scripture, I want to share with you a story that happened more recently. You know, I don't know how many of you, if you have kids or nephews or nieces, or like to take your kids to the zoo. I used to always take my kids to the zoo when they were young, and we would walk to the zoo and have a wonderful time. My kids would always ask to go to the zoo. But this is a story of a mother who took her child to the zoo, had a experience that I never had. She dressed her little toddler Jack in his new black and white striped hoodie and headed for the zoo that day. She had no idea what excitement she would stir up in the lion's den, because When she got there, you know, the lions were lazing around in their enclosed habitat. This was in Oregon. This was at the Oregon Zoo. Completely uninterested. You know how they are. They're sort of off in the corner a lot of times, yawning, looking bored. Lots of children going up. There's a glass partition there. Lots of children going up and checking out the lions, taking a peek at those giant cats. But when Jack approached the glass, it was different because he looked like a young zebra. He had his black and white hoodie on, stripe, right there. And Jack's presence caught the lion's attention. And the lion jumped into action. He pounded and pawed and scratched and bit at the glass. And the lion tried everything it could do to capture its young prey. And here's a couple pictures of what happened. There he is. That black and white stripe. It did it. There he is. Okay, so that's almost not cool, right? I mean, it's okay, but it's almost not so cool. I want you to keep that image in mind, because I'm going to use this story to talk about Daniel here. I'm using Zebra Principle 1, Zebra Principle 2, and Zebra Principle number 3 to talk to you today. And Zebra Principle number 1 is this, and Daniel did it, we're called to do it. And Jack did it that day. Christians are meant to stand out from the crowd even when it gets them in trouble. All right? Now, Daniel did just that. If you are living the Christian life, you will stand out from the crowd as well. None of the teachings of the Christian faith are meant for us to blend in. That's not what Jesus said. He never said blend into the crowd. He said stand out from the crowd. Be different and make a difference. And we'll see how Daniel does this in a minute. But also I want you to remember that the scripture is very clear that we have an enemy here on earth that seeks the demise of those who follow Christ. Those who stand out. The Bible calls that enemy Satan or the devil and compares the enemy to a roaring lion. Jesus said our enemy Satan is like a roaring lion prowling around on this earth seeking whom he may devour. That's kind of scary, right? And we know that his favorite prey are faithful Christians who look different and act different than everyone else. Believers that blend into the crowd doesn't matter. But believers who are actively engaged in the work of the kingdom stand out in the crowd. And Daniel stood out for a different reason than Jack, little Jack did, but that's why he got in trouble with the lions. Now, what helps in understanding the story of Daniel in the lion's den is to know that this incident happened a long time after Daniel was already taken captive from his homeland. Daniel lived in Judah. This story took place about 600 years before Christ. All right, so that gives you a time frame. And what Nebuchadnezzar was ruling at that time in Babylon, and he came and besieged the land of Judah. And he took with him hostages, slaves from Judah. All right, and he brought them back to Babylon. And so Daniel is taken as a slave, as a hostage, as a very young man. And as I said, this happened when King Nebuchadnezzar ruled. So you have all these people from Judah in Babylon, all right? And then the rulers there of Babylon said, okay, we want to take the brightest and the best to potentially serve the king. So we're going to choose a few of the most handsome and the strongest guys. We're going to bring them into the king's court. We're going to feed them, pamper them, and get them ready to meet with the king to see if they, you know, the king chooses them, if they look well enough. So Daniel then was chosen to serve the king, and he did so all his life. But you get the message in scripture that he was very handsome. He was very gifted. He was very strong. He was the best of the best, the cream of the crop. And if you read through the book of Daniel, I don't have time to do it today, you will see how time after time after time, Daniel stays faithful to God and makes the distinctions he needs to make in terms of what is right and what is wrong. Down through the years, Daniel does this in miraculous, life-changing ways, and he's not obnoxious about it. Ever know any obnoxious Christians that's sort of in your face? You know, he's not obnoxious about it. He does it in a way that respects people, and so people start to respect him. They start to respect him and trust him. He's loyal. He's faithful. So by the time, now some of our Sunday school pictures of Daniel in the lion's den have Daniel really young, but this is a great picture because you know what? By the time Daniel is thrown to the lions, he is about 80 years old. 80 years old. So he has this long history already, right, serving the king. And then when he turns 80, I mean, sometimes after you live a while, you know, you realize you really can trust God. It takes us about that long to realize we can really throw our lives, stake our lives in the mercy and faithfulness of God. So Daniel's not going to back down now. He's 80 years old. But do you realize how hard it must have been for him to do that in a pagan land? In a land where there were no standards and it was a polytheistic culture, lots of different gods, people worshiping, doing weird, strange things. You know, sometimes I feel in a pagan culture right here, right? And he could have been brainwashed. He could start to question, how do I know that what I believe is real? No one else believes what I believe. Why should I keep the standards of God Almighty and follow him when no one else is doing it? You know, in this culture, we have temptations all around us to do that, right? Might be tempted to cheat a little bit, to get ahead, play it safe so that you don't offend someone, even when there's injustice going on. You ever get scared to talk about the Lord in public or right or wrong because it's not a popular thing to do? I've been tempted in all those ways, and I've stumbled more than I can say. But in an alien land, away from the supports of home, Daniel was faultless. He never compromised. He never compromised his standards and his absolute trust in the God of Israel. And when I read that book, I'm just amazed at how well he does that. I think the real lions in this story of Daniel are the people serving in the king's court who are under Daniel, who set the trap for him, you know. And they know how to do this. If you were listening when Matt read, they couldn't find any fault in him, but they knew that he believed in God so deeply that the only way that they could trip him up was to attack him in terms of his faith. And they're jealous of Daniel because what did the king say? The king said, I want to put you over my whole kingdom, right? That's a lot of power. And when you have a lot of power, people get jealous. So they're jealous. They go to King now King Darius is ruling. So Nebuchadnezzar is gone. Darius is in charge of the Persian Empire. And they go to King Darius, all right? And they say, Darius, how you doing today? You look great. You're really great. How's the family, Darius? And, you know, maybe we'll catch you later in a game of Persian golf. How's that? And, you know, you're a great ruler. And by the way, we want people to respect you as that powerful ruler that you are. And we want to make sure that they know that you're in charge. So why not put an edict out there? You know, for the next 30 days, anybody that worships any other god, you know, but you, Darius, will be thrown into the lion's den. How about it, King? It'll just reinforce for people, you know, that you have authority. And Darius is distracted. He's king, all right? He's got this big empire and everything. He's probably not fully paying attention. You know, sometimes I have so much stuff on my desk, you know, somebody comes to me and says something. I say, yeah, whatever. Go for it if you think it's a good idea. That's fine. I kind of feel for Darius here, and he might have done that like what I do and said, sure, whatever. If you think it's a good idea, then go for it. And the decree goes into effect. Darius has no idea of the ramifications of his decision until these same satrap guys come back to him and say, okay, you know Daniel? He worships his God, the God of Israel, three times a day, which Jews did. He would throw himself down and up again. That three times a day was the normal rhythm for prayer for the Jew. But King, you've made a decree. You can't change it. He's got to go to the lions. And Darius is caught short. He loves Daniel. He's able to rely on Daniel. And he agonizes and he ponders and he realizes that the way that he wrote the decree means he cannot revoke it. So zebra principle number two is Christians are meant to have courage. I think that thing that's so funny about the baby in the picture that I showed you is baby's not scared at all. And that's because he's oblivious, right? And he has no idea of the danger on the other side of that glass. Our problem is that we do know the dangers that are out there, and we do get afraid. And I am sure Daniel was afraid. And I'm sure it was very hard for him. I mean, you know, you saw Matthew up here during the children's message. It's very hard to stand up for what you believe sometimes. But one definition of courage is this. Courage is not about not being afraid. Courage is about being afraid and doing the right thing anyway, right? Daniel probably knew the scripture too from the Old Testament that said, "This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So what's Daniel's response to the king's decree? I love this part of Daniel. Listen. Daniel 6:10. "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room." What? Where the windows were open, facing Jerusalem, okay? 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. You know, if it had been me, I think I might have been tempted to close the windows, right? Stand behind the dresser and do my prayers there. Maybe draw the drapes a little bit. Maybe get new drapes made out of thicker material, too. Shut off the lights, leave town. After all, God sees my heart, right? I mean, that's what we do when we rationalize, right? When we compromise ourselves. But even that little bit of compromise to close those windows was beneath Daniel. But he kept doing what he'd always done, which was to pray with the windows open. He didn't change it because things around him were changing, even when it meant his life. I was at Spirit West Coast these past 2 days, and Jeremy Camp was there. He's a Christian artist. He was talking about living with reckless abandonment in the sense that my life means nothing. I'm in service to Jesus Christ. My life is not important. What God does through me, through Jesus, is what matters. That's pretty courageous. That's an amazing way to live. There's a lot of definitions of courage. I just read one to you, but let me give you another one. It's my absolute favorite one. G.K. Chesterton, Catholic theologian, used it long ago. He said, "Courage is almost a contradiction in terms. It means a strong desire to live, taking the form of a readiness to die. He that will lose his life, the same shall save it. It's not a piece of mysticism for saints and heroes. It is a piece of everyday advice for sailors and or mountaineers. It's for people willing to take risks and thereby truly live." And John Eldridge adds the following comment: "The most dangerous people on earth are those who have reckoned with their own death. Everyone dies. Few ever really live. Sure, you can create a safe life for yourself and end your days in a rest home somewhere. I'd rather go down swinging. Besides, the less we are trying to save ourselves, the more effective a warrior we will be." Daniel was a courageous warrior, effective too. And King Darius, after agonizing, he's caught in the middle. He has Daniel thrown to the lions. Now, I just want to explain to you what a lion's den looked like back then. It wasn't like a little cave and people going in. It was actually a deep pit in the ground, all right? And the lions were kept very hungry. All right. They were fed the bare minimum to keep them alive. So often when people were, this is barbaric, but often when people were thrown into this pit, they wouldn't even hit the ground. The lions were so hungry, they'd jump and rip them to shreds before they even landed there. I know that's not a very nice image, but I want you to understand that this was not, you know, these are not nice little fuzzy pussycat lions. Then the stone was put over the pit. The king would seal it with his ring, so it was completely black down there. And Daniel spent the night down there. So, I can't imagine that. But zebra principle number three, Christians are called to trust in God's faithfulness. Always, always. And when I showed my kids the picture of the lion and the baby, one of them said, "Mom, that glass is like the Holy Spirit protecting that baby." And I thought that was clever, because when you truly look different from the world and stand out for God courageously, even though you encounter the lions, you can trust in God's faithfulness to you through it all. And on that day, when Daniel was thrown to the lion, Scripture tells us that God sent his angel and closed their mouth. Friends, our refuge is in the Lord. That's why we can be different, and that's why we act courageously. Our faithfulness to God is nothing, absolutely nothing, compared to his faithfulness to us. He comes through every time, all the time. And it doesn't mean that bad things don't happen. What it means is that ultimately God's purposes will be fulfilled and worked out in our lives for his glory. And the more we trust, the more we are able to live courageous, uncompromising lives like Daniel. Daniel trusted God. He trusted God when he was a child. He trusted him when he was governing the Persian Empire. And he trusted him when he was thrown to the lions. And he never stopped trusting in God. Well, the next morning, after not being able to sleep, having no entertainment, eating nothing, Darius goes out to the lions. Then, crack of dawn. He's been waiting all morning. And he has his servants move that stone away. And you can just see him peering down, can't you, into the darkness, looking for some kind of human movement or something. And tentatively, I'm sure, he calls down, Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Is God really able to do that, Daniel, the one that you love and serve? And then to the king's delight, he hears a voice, a human voice, answering him from the darkness of that deep pit, calling up to him with strength and confidence. May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty. And just so you know, the name Daniel, it means God is my judge. God is my judge. And I think that's significant in terms of Daniel declaring his own innocence to the king and his innocence through his life in being uncompromising and constantly following God's law in a foreign land. Well, the king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. And many biblical scholars have suggested a parallel here to the story of Jesus in the tomb, right? The cross was necessary, but in the end, God's purposes were fulfilled as the stone was taken away from the tomb, and the living God, whom Jesus served all his days, was glorified in Jesus' resurrection. I don't know what lions might be in your life today, things that threaten you or worry you, people who are hostile or who have betrayed you. Maybe you're being tempted today to compromise something because of fear. Maybe you've been standing up for something or someone for a long time, doing the right thing in a foreign land, and you are tired and want to give up. You want to blend in. Or maybe the environment you're working in or living in is very atheistic, just like the environment that Daniel lived in all his life, and you're having a hard time being Christian in that context. And I just want to encourage you this morning to be a Daniel, to continue to stand out as a Christian, to continue to have courage and to continue to trust the living God, because he will be faithful to you. I promise you that. That's always the way the story ends for true Christians. God is always faithful, every time, always, in every situation. And Jesus knew that truth when he went to the cross. It's the only way he could have made that journey. He trusted God every step of the way in his ministry to us here, and then finally up that hill to Calvary where he was crucified. And in the end, guess what? God was faithful. Just as the stone over the lion's den sealed Daniel in, and just as the stone over the tomb sealed Jesus in, people went there and thought they'd find death, and they found life instead. Because you know why? Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So may he shut the lion's mouth in your world today, and may you uncompromisingly and courageously trust in God's faithfulness. To God be the glory forever and ever. Would you pray with me? Lord God, thank you so much for your faithfulness to us. Help us to live courageously and confidently in you as we stand out from an evil world, doing your work, loving as you've called us to love, and sacrificing with faith in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord God, as we participate in your Holy Supper, we pray that you would set these elements apart from a common to a sacred use, that we might take them, recommitting ourselves to live courageously, to stand out, and to trust you in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, broken for you. Eat this as often as you would in remembrance of me." In the same way, after he supped, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink ye all of it. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you remember my death until I come again." So ministering to you in Christ's name, we give you the bread and the cup. We ask that you take the bread individually as a sign of your individual relationship with Jesus Christ, and that you hold the cup as a sign of our communion together as a body of Christ. And together we will partake of that at my direction. If you need help, please put your hand in the air if there's any problem with taking the communion, as we've had that issue a little bit before. But the ushers will come to you in your seats and serve you this morning. All who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are invited to participate in this meal. The gifts of God for the people of God. Blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of your sin. Amen. Well, God bless you, and thank you so much for worshiping with us this morning. If you're here for the first time, we invite you to go out to the Welcome Center and get whatever information you would like. You also get a free gift out there, so don't miss that opportunity. Also, we're a church that believes strongly in prayer, believe that God works through prayer. If you would like confidential prayer this morning, we invite you to come up front, and there are folks who would like to pray with you. Judy Kiever's standing up here. There are others who may be coming, but we ask that you just ask for prayer. We all need it, so avail yourselves of that opportunity. Also, tonight, we have intercessory prayers meeting in room 15. If you have a special request, whether for physical healing or anything that's going on in your lives, these folks meet faithfully on Communion Sunday evenings in room 15, and they wait for you to come to them, and then they will pray up a storm just for you, and it's all confidential. So we invite you to come to the intercessory prayer meeting. It's a prayer meeting, the old time kind of meetings, not the board meetings, tonight at 7 o'clock in room 15. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you and who loves you beyond your wildest imaginings, and the love of God who made that happen, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead that lives in you, be with you and abide with you as you go forth from this place, and may you live courageously for him. Amen.